Hey everyone, Chris here from Midwest Coaster Fans. I have Zach and Jacob from our team joining us tonight. We're talking about basically, I might freeze up. We're having issues with our stream, live stream into a podcast, so I apologize if it freezes up sometimes. But we're talking about the complete history and information on Indiana Beach Triple Loop Coaster coming to 2021. We kind of wanted to give some details on the actual history of it. There's a lot of misinformation being fed over the internet about it. And actually had a conversation with Tom Christie earlier on Facebook. And had a conversation with him earlier on Facebook, and he supports us doing this. And he actually appreciated our last video. So that was kind of cool to hear it. But let's see what we got here comment-wise before we go into our podcast. If you're listening to us on any format, this is Roller Coaster Therapy, Episode 3, talking about the Triple Loop coming to Indiana Beach. We're talking about the history. While freezing up constantly, even though we didn't have any issues earlier. Do I have a stream schedule, Zach? Usually we release Roller Coaster Therapy.
It's all your fault.
I mean, over here.
Usually we release it on Mondays at 6 p.m. We wanted to do something a little different this week. So we do have a special guest for next Monday's show. We're going to pre-record it and then post it. The stream schedule, it's periodic. We posted this one like 6 hours or like 3 hours in advance. So we're either going to have it when the news breaks or we'll do our live shows at like 8:30 at night. It's just easier for everybody on our team to join in on it. And then it's easier for you guys to join in at home. If you don't catch it on here, it takes about 12 hours for it to post to YouTube, or it'll be available right away on podcast. I'm going to actually do things a little differently in the future. And I'm probably going to download the feed and then upload it right away to avoid this stupid crap from happening. Cause I don't understand why it takes 12 hours for them to publish it, but welcome, welcome, welcome. We should have done this with Coasters and Brews, but we were having technical difficulties with StreamYard, and we didn't want to run into that issue when we posted the video, so kind of regretted it later on. Let's see what we got here question-wise before we start the history of it. We have 12 live viewers, which is great.
I got 21.
Me too.
What did I just say?
12.
Oh, I'm at 21. Hello from Hot Ohio. Oh, what's up, 20. Coaster Facts? Yay. Okay. Do you have a stream schedule? I already explained that. It'll be posted at least a minimum 5 hours in advance. That's the only thing I could tell you guys, because we're going to have a lot of park news coming out in the next couple months. We don't ever know when the park's going to release that unless they give us a heads up way in advance. But let's go ahead and go over to the details on this. So Quimera, Triple Loop, Dryer Loop. What was the other name for it that was over at Flamingo Land?
Flamingo Land, Magnum Force, best name for it.
Magnum Force.
I don't know. Indiana.
Well, I think it only operated under... Well, it only operated under Magnum Force, I think, for five years. Yeah, so what happened is this started off on the circuit, and I have pictures. I forgot to download them, and I'll show you guys here just in a second. But I have old pictures from, like, when it was called Dryer Loop. It was on the German Fair Circuit for 12 years. It was originally designed and, well, it was actually manufactured by Schwarzkopf, designed by, hold on. Give me a second. I'm going with, who was it?
Single.
Okay.
Ruin and Single, if I got that right. That German name.
Yeah. Oro Single. And,
I think I'm Ruin and Single, right? Ruin.
Yeah, and he's the man behind all the traveling coasters back in the 80s. So there was this big coaster war back in the 80s that nobody knew about in this country because, you know, Americans back then weren't really connected to the global news. But over in the European circuit, they had traveling coasters, and Schwarzkopf and that designer, Werner Stengel, was primarily behind it. And you had a variety of different coasters that were developed. The only one that's remaining in that circuit, I believe, is Olympia Looping, which is a five loop looping coaster. And funny history behind that is that they actually had a battle in court with the Olympic Committee because their coaster looked too much like the Olympic symbol, and they had to explain to them it wasn't designed that way. Well, yeah, it was, but they got away with it basically because Olympia Looping, you have the, you know, five continents represented on there, just like in the symbol for the Olympics. But that was the last major coaster that was part of that moving circuit. And I believe it was, and I'm looking up the history of this as I'm speaking here. Okay, we have the complete history, but of course it's, you know. So it operated in the Sunway Lagoon, which I think was the first location before moving to Flamingoland. So it operated in Malaysia for only 2 years. They put it up for sale, and then Flamingoland ended up buying it.
But while it was in Malaysia, it had the best paint job ever. Pink.
I'm going to see if I can find some pictures of it when I was over there.
I don't get why Flamingoland changed it, because pink was perfect for Flamingoland.
Yeah, I can't find any pictures on it, but I'll try to locate some during the show. Yeah, and it was sold over to Flamingoland, which is a park over in England. And that operated until, I'm bringing up, man, 2005. And then it moved over to La Fiera Chaltepec Magico in Mexico City. And that operated from 2007 to 2019. Obviously, the incident that we're talking about today, which involved many people hurt, two people killed. But again, we're really talking about this because this has nothing to do with the park that it's going to be moved to. We could talk about Mindbender too. That would be a more appropriate one to talk about because they basically did the same thing. They didn't follow manufacturer specs. They ran it beyond that. And everybody knows the disaster that was Mindbender back in the 80s too. So I don't think it's a Schwarzkopf issue. I think it's mainly a park issue and the countries that they're being put up in. So
yeah, because with Mindbender, the problem was translating the Alpamino from German to their language is where it got all messed up.
Yeah, that was their excuse, but I mean, it couldn't have been that hard to find somebody to translate German. I mean, it's not like German's a hard language to find. So I don't know if I believe that story fully, but...
And I mean...
Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some words in other languages that don't really translate well, so there's actually probably two, but...
Yeah, it's like that with, I mean, any language, believe, pretty much. The funny thing is, if you guys ever watch Jimmy Fallon, he kind of does that with his carry. Yep. Sorry, I broke up there for a second. But he kind of does that with the karaoke on Jimmy Fallon sometimes, where he'll translate songs and he translates them back to English, and it's completely lost in translation. So, yeah, he kind of gives an example of that a little bit. And some things might be lost in translation from these Mexican articles that were released. I had Google translate them, so if some of the words don't make sense, it's on the translator part of it. Well, let's look at some old pictures of it. So I'm going to overlay these here. I downloaded them. There's the old dryer loop. And you can see it actually looks better in this color scheme, in my opinion, than what it did, obviously, in Mexico City. Here's the horrible paint job in Mexico City. So had the red and yellow.
I mean, it's not the
worst
color scheme.
And when it was Magnum Force. Ooh, I like that.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that's what the colors were at Flamingoland. So here's the original circuit one. Flamingo Land, and I can't find the one from Malaysia like you talked about.
Well, at one point it was white with a white base with red track. I think that was Flamingo Land.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that is LCDB, the pixel of Flamingo Land. I did not see any pixel of it in all pink, but I'll have one too. That sounds pretty hideous.
I don't think it was all pink. I'm assuming it was a white top with a pink base or something like that.
Yeah, if you can find a picture, just send it to me via Facebook Messenger, and I'll download it on here. Coaster Facts, just sub to our channel. Appreciate it. I think I'm already subbed to your channel. I try to sub to as many channels as I can in the coaster community. I believe I'm already subbed to it. But yeah, this is a very interesting subject. So, Zach, well, Jacob and I are coaster nuts too, but Zach seems to just be the encyclopedia of knowledge over here. So,
well, LCDB in my resource. So,
oh yeah. So Mindbender, what happened with that one? So Mindbender kind of, I was reading up and it said that Mindbender kind of had the same issue where basically that rear car fell off the track and, derailed basically.
Yeah, it had a I believe it was an issue with the wheel assembly. And I think it kind of cracked. And this, listening to it, was to actually make all three cars on it a you know, the elite car that has the four axles. That yeah. would definitely leave that on each one that had more axles.
And, we have a couple live comments over here, but like we were talking about earlier today. So the standards, like we were talking about, me and Zach were talking about earlier, Jake was at work when we were doing that live feed through Indiana Beach. But if I break up, just let me know, guys, so I can repeat what I'm saying. But basically, the standards down in Mexico is basically you have to follow by the country's regulations until you make a mistake. So there's nobody double checking it like over here in Indiana. Or, you know, in the Midwest or anything like that. Mistranslation from German to English in the manual. Okay. Got it. Just like you were saying, Zach. So, yeah. Basically down in Mexico, they have standards, but they don't have the government overchecking it and jumping anything until they do something wrong. In this case, two people died, 14 people were injured, I believe. Which caused the government to shut it completely down because they found out that this company that was running the park wasn't following by anything properly. So they basically took it over, and I think it's being leveled and something else is being put in place, which I believe is like probably something that has nothing to do with an amusement park. Coaster quiz with Midwest coaster fans. Quiz the viewers. we'll do that in a little while. Let's do a quick quiz here.
Are you smarter than Zach from Midwest?
Yeah, let's have Zach. You got any questions for our viewers here? You got any questions?
Oh, me?
Well, let's see if you guys watched our show earlier. So what is Indiana Beach calling polyp or polyps at Indiana Beach? What is the new name of it? There you go. I'll see how many of you guys can guess that one right. We'll know if you guys actually watched that feed earlier or not. Okay, I'm back. Trim brakes were initially turned off. Yeah, same thing with, well, what do we have here?
Drunk rider. Come join us. We have alcohol.
No, we don't, because this is not. Yeah. This.
I don't give it.
This is soda.
It's a really nice cup, though, that I bought in Indiana Beach this year.
Hey, yeah, that's
everybody's favorite. Great. Everybody's favorite Giga.
No, you mean on Giga Light. Giga Light.
Yeah.
Giga Light.
That's yeah, we look to me. If you guys get a chance, definitely check their podcast out. It's a good podcast. I was heading back from Indianapolis to Orlando. It kept me busy for an hour and a half. So, but. Yeah, we're talking about that. So earlier, the Hyper Bus Stop. Get out.
You got me. I-305 was my number one Giga. But we can argue about that all day long because I know everybody loves Perry.
Timothy Chambers.
It'd be Ryan, but I'd only compare to money on Forceless, so.
Timothy Chambers got it right for Sea Warrior. Congratulations. We'll send you a koozie sometime. write down his name so I can contact him offline. I have a couple extra ones that I could send him. Yeah, we're talking about that. So what we were talking about earlier, so Indiana double checks everything. So whenever the park's ready to be inspected, they come out. I think it takes a period of like 3 to 4 days, and they have them run test runs to check. And it's basically a check process all day long. Holiday World does it. Indiana Beach does it. Obviously, those are the only main parks. And then obviously if, you know, Indianapolis Zoo has another coaster, there's a couple other parks that have small coasters. Obviously, that wouldn't take more than probably a couple hours, but basically, what happened down in Mexico, like I was saying, and I'll go ahead and bring up the report here in a second. Basically, there was logs that were written, which is the interesting part about this coaster. So there was logs that were written by the operator saying, hey, if you need to fix this, and the park ignored this for like 2 to 3 years. So they have logs. So the operators were doing the right thing, but the park was not doing the right thing. And they were running this thing really fast. I could bring up a video here from Savage Coasters that would show that it was running so fast for that third loop that that third loop was shaking very heavily, which is not what it's supposed to do. That would mean that it was running extremely fast for what it's supposed to. So it's supposed to hit that trim brake like you were talking about earlier. It's supposed to hit that trim brake. Once it hits that trim brake, it slows it down right before it hits that third loop. They shut that trim brake down, so it was hitting that. If you look at the video, and I'll show it to you here in just a second, you can see that the dry tires weren't even catching the train. That's how fast that thing was moving up to that trim location. If it was turned on, that trim brake would have caught it and slowed it down enough where it wouldn't have derailed. Now, how it lasted 2 years like that without falling off the tracks, I'm still trying to figure that one out. A lot of close calls in. I know El Toro, the Coaster Idiots were down there. It was closed when they went, thankfully. And I think that was like 3 or 4 months later is when that accident happened. So they were thankful that they didn't ride it. But people that did ride it said it was, you could definitely tell it wasn't maintained properly. It ran into a bunch of issues. Sorry. I am losing my signal again. And they know what I'm talking about because they had technical difficulties with their podcast the first time they recorded. I think they had to record it twice with the Maritime Girls, so it happens. But basically what happened, I'm trying to remember what I was just talking about here. But basically catch me over here. When you're running it past manufacturer specs and running it to a certain point and not maintaining it properly, what you have happen is you are putting extreme stress on the track system. So what was happening is that coaster and that train were kind of like what I'm like, get bashed here for this, but kind of what RMC used to do with its roller coasters and with its track systems. They were putting a lot of stress on certain points, especially the topper track. Obviously, they noticed it right away, and in America, they fix it right away. In Mexico, they didn't fix it right away, so now they're using iBox trains or iBox tracks. So that those high stress areas are being alleviated, and you don't have that further issue on there. Kings Island needs a gig in their lineup really badly. Yeah, I read Drunk Riders. You hush. But
this, I don't know. I mean, quiet. So
I'm actually going to bring this up here because I have the accident report. I'm going to bring it up here so you guys can read it with me here. Let's see what it looks like on here so you could actually read it. Let me take off this banner here. All right. So where are we at here? Is this screen moving down? I make sure I'm on the right one.
Yeah,
I'm on the right one. So here's the accident picture here. And you can see police. Okay. So the Attorney General's Office of Mexico City confirmed the death of 2 people and 5 injured, 2 seriously after the accident in one of the games. See, that's why I said a lot of these things aren't translated correctly. Obviously, it was a coaster, not a game. At the Chutepec Fair, known as Chimera, Based on the first proceedings related to the incident that occurred at Chultepec Fair, there are knowledge of two deceased and five injured. We were just talking about the translation here. Obviously, it's an amusement park, not a fair. But over in the Spanish language, they might not have a name for an amusement park, so they might use fair for everything. According to the first reports, the incident occurred after the last of the cars hit the metal structure and shot out, causing two people, an adult and a minor, to fall, hitting a booth, immediately causing his death. Wow, that's a heck of a way to... Crazy. Five people who were injured were transferred by nearby hospitals, such as Hospital Masil and Red Cross. As a preventive measure, the amusement park was evicted.
So close.
Yeah, close. Let me go ahead and play this. This is the actual accident footage.
And if I remember correctly, this footage was footage from people whose friends were actually on that coaster of the time of when it derailed.
Say it wasn't the first time that it derailed, that we said?
No, that video we just watched, their friends were on that coaster when it derailed. That's the reason why they were recording the coaster.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't wait for trivia with Midwest Coaster fans next Monday. Counting on it. Yeah, we'll do a trivia. Why not?
Drunk trivia. Bam.
Yes, they were. They were back row. You guys want to have a trivia night? We'll have a trivia night. We will come up with some crazy questions. That actually sounds kind of fun.
It does. Yeah. Sounds really fun.
I'd rather do that on a Saturday night instead of a Monday night, but okay. That'd actually be pretty fun on a Saturday. You know what? That'd be kind of cool to do, actually. Like he just said with it, I think it'd be kind of fun to do a trivia and just everybody come in here, and then the person who accumulates the most points
wins a prize package.
Yeah, we'll figure out something, right? but yeah, you can see on that video, it's crazy because you can see those people hanging on. Like, it looks like something out of the old movie, Final Destination. Like something crazy that would happen like that. Only the cold coaster didn't scream off of it and kill everybody on it. But I guess it's not funny. Two people did die in it, and it's not funny. But we could learn from the mistake of what happened in La Fiera and prevent it from happening again.
Duly noted.
Somebody put a mean face on here, so I guess they're mad about
it. Yeah.
Which duly noted, before this accident occurred, the only accident that I found was the one where the ride operator was taking a shortcut because he didn't want to take the long way around and got hit by a moving train. Well, you know, when you go through a restricted area while the train's in motion, what happens? Usually not a good mix.
Nah, you're not going to survive that. I mean, these trains weigh, I don't know. What's the average weight on these trains? 24,000 pounds, probably?
Yeah, with a ton, the heavy trains. And that too, when that, I mean, no matter how much it weighs, that train has a lot of mass. If it hits you, you're done for it.
Oh, yeah, Coaster Corsair is asking, so they died. And, yeah, I hate saying that, but, yeah, two people died. I just read the article, and if you missed it, there was a series of people injured, and those two people actually fell off the track and hit the shed below, causing a death. Kind of the same thing that kind of happened, if you remember, New Texas Giant. I did a video on that, and it's crazy because it goes up that airtime hill, and that's when she launched out of her seat. And she actually smacked into that shed below the ride. And that's what killed her, not the initial fall. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, you got to imagine what kind of speed you're going, you just hit to a dead stop. If you're going 50 miles an hour, dead stop, you're dead on impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are going. Yeah, you're going pretty fast. And she shouldn't have been in that seat in the first place, but whatever. Foo Fighters are playing tomorrow at the inauguration. Anyways, I know it has nothing to do with this, but I like the Foo Fighters. Man. Whatever. Anyways, Jacob's over here giving it like a weird look. Sorry your DJ is not there, Jacob.
No, I'm
not. Everybody likes EDM music in America. I like EDM music. I'm just messing with him. He's wearing a Pacers shirt too. Oladipo tried to play it off like he actually cared about the city and everything. Whatever. Please. Oh, by the way, the Saints are out of the playoffs. Tom Brady still in.
Fair trade.
Tom Brady's still in.
That's okay. Bills all the way.
Yeah, right. Anyways.
Everybody in the playoffs, that would be the coolest team to win. I mean, the last time they were in the playoffs was, what, 94, 95? But anyway, yeah, right. The coasters.
Yeah. But all of our fans probably watch sports too, so whatever. But yeah, I don't know who did the mean face, and I wasn't joking about it, but you know, you go to these countries, you take a huge risk. If you're riding anywhere besides countries you know have a safe track record, like I probably would never ride a coaster in China. I think the parks would do the right thing, but first of all, I'm not going to go over there anyways. I don't want to end up in a Chinese jail or prison because I don't follow some law correctly or something. Same reason why I probably would never go to a Middle Eastern country and ride coasters over there. That's just the way it is. I will go to I will go to Japan. I will go to South Korea. I will go to European countries, and I will go to Australia. I know those places in Canada are safe. And maybe Six Flags Mexico. But
did you guys like my force right there? I used the force.
Oh, my God. This guy. What's your guys' opinion on that? Would you ride a coaster in China? I wouldn't.
Depends on the park.
Yeah, it depends on the park. I mean,
Shanghai Disney, maybe. Okay.
I mean, you and I talked about last week. Japan is really the roller coaster capital of the world if we really look at it. But would we really go there to ride roller coasters?
I wouldn't.
Are you talking about China being the roller coaster capital of the world, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You said Japan.
Sorry.
Japan's not close enough. Didn't book me either, so.
The thing about Japan, though, is that if an incident happens in Japan, the people actually, it affects them majorly because you ruin trust with them. So attendance actually dropped when they had an accident for, like, years. The only parks they would go to that they trusted happened to be Tokyo Disney Sea and Universal Studios, and even Fujiku Highland wasn't that busy. So it's interesting. They have trust factors. Kind of the same. Not so much. Americans don't really care, but over in Japan, it's a big trust factor. So
it seems kind of odd. I don't want to go to parks that are buying, you know, reputable manufacturers like B&M and Mach, and not a park that is only made out of knockoffs.
Right. Yeah. Right now, they have roughly about a little bit over 1,000 operating roller coasters in China.
Yeah, knockoffs.
Well, yeah, most of those that have a knockoffs. Or they are the China also loves the Jungle Mouse coasters.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't trust their engineering. I know a lot of stuff has failed over the years over their engineering wise, so it's hard for me to trust it. China has knockoffs. You had knockoff iPhones, knockoff.
Knockoff BMs, knockoff Intamins, plenty of knockoff Eos.
I mean, it makes sense that you're going to invest in a country that has 2.5 billion people and the second largest economy in the world, but doesn't mean we have to visit there. Maybe for Shanghai Disney and Universal, maybe. A new one coming there. But other than that, nah. I'll let Coaster Studios and all the other ones visit and tell about the experience. I just don't trust some of these other. But anyways,
Europe, baby. Europe.
That's what I like about our show. We're honest about our opinions. We're not going to – no, we can't talk about that. We'll talk about whatever we feel like talking about without offending anybody, of course. We need to start a petition to save Montana Russa. Oh, my God. I've been hearing about this all day.
Montana, not Montana. Do the N on the N.
I'm out of the loop. I've been too worried about Tiger King, you know, that parting, pardon, you know.
It's that wooden coaster down there.
Okay.
Yeah. NXT. What are your thoughts on Anjanika? You're talking about the coaster over in Fuji Q Highland? I don't know because I've not rode it. It looks entertaining. You're talking about the X2 heightened one, like the good X2 version of the SNS.
It looks fun.
Anjanika looks really good. I think Ryan from El Toro Ryan, I think he ranked it as number one.
He did.
Like X2.
He said X2 was disappointing, which I've heard from people that actually rode the one over there. So I would like to see another one built. Cedar Point, if you're listening.
Buy one, please.
There you go. But anyways, we get off subject all the time on here.
It's what I do best.
Triple Loop is dope. I'm going to Indiana Beach in 2021. A lot of people are.
Yeah, you are too.
What will the colors be? We do not know yet. I'm waiting on to get information from the park. They might release some information to us personally tomorrow. And if they do, then we will release it to you guys.
If not, whenever we find out, we will let you guys know.
I bet it is an ace landmark coaster, but there's nothing we could do about going down to Mexico and grabbing it. So I guess we could start a GoFundMe. I guess we could start a GoFundMe and fund it, but where is it going to go? Where are we putting this thing at?
I got
a big enough backyard.
Is it really that big in Greenwood?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, there, is put it in a cornfield apart from Hollywood.
Or we could just operate it across from Indiana Beach and just charge like $2 a ride, like Zip and Pippin. Let's see.
We would be able to buy the bug, then convince Dean to buy it from us.
So, give me one second here. I'm going to read the accident report on this. Sorry if we're going off subject. If you listen on the podcast, we try to make it at least a little bit entertaining. Will there be another LED light package on the coaster? I hope so. I hope Indiana Beach contacts KC Lighting or KCL Lighting, however you.
Yeah, KCL.
Yeah, because they did wonders with White Lightning and Mind Blower down here in Fun Spot. They look really good.
I think White Lightning only had the anticipated lights, but Mind Blower do have one of the foil light packages on it.
Yeah, I think it would look great. I think actually Indiana Beach needs to look at that company because, you have a park that's on a – I know we're kind of going off subject. I'm going to read this here in a second. This is like a report that was done by the Coaster Zone, and it kind of goes over everything. And I'm going to be going over everything on white tail and stuff like that. This is an hour long podcast trying to get you on there. But anyways – getting back what I was talking about. I think lighting packages on their coasters like Hoosier Hurricane, Cornwall Express, and this new coaster, especially the Hoosier Hurricane, if you did a lighting package like that next to the water, it would be amazing at night. And I think they should definitely look at that and maybe La Fiera, but I mean, not La Fiera, oh my God. Triple Loop. Maybe look at it on Triple Loop. But I mean, okay, so as you're heading down Indiana Beach Road, you're going to see this big structure sticking out. But other than that, you're not going to be able to see it anywhere else. So that's up to the park if they want to light it up at night or not. I mean, it's not like the other coasters. where you're going to be able to see it next to the water and stuff. It's going to be kind of hidden in the background. Although we might be able to sit it because it will be a little bit taller than the Steelhawk. I know I broke up there for a second. It will be a little bit taller than the Steelhawk from what I understand. So I think this one's sitting at 115 feet. The Steelhawk's at 100 feet, right? Or is it 95 feet? I don't remember. All right. Jacob's like, whatever. All right. So this is the information. I'm reading, the Chimera Mechanical game operated outside the regulations established in its own manual, official Mexican regulations, and complementary technical regulations. According to the game manual called Chimera or Chimera, I don't know. These translations might not be correct. It operated without the required conditions since it carried out routes without the complete train, without corrective maintenance, and under unsafe and serious conditions. The lack of corrective and preventive maintenance was a cause that caused car number 5 of the train to detach and cause death of 2 people and serious injuries to 2 more. The charges derived from the above, Laura added, the Attorney General's office will file charges against both individuals and legal entities. In this case, the operator, which is Operadora de Desarrollo Humano Chotepec SADCV, which had the concession to operate the park. The social representation of the Attorney General's office requested a hearing to formulate an accusation for the various crimes of homicide. And a couple of injuries against those who investigated. And although he did not want to disclose the name of the persons against who they'll proceed legally for a procedural matter, he indicated that once the process had already begun, the list will be released and stressed that the company that operated La Fiera will also have to answer for what happened. I think this is information here. Here you go. The Attorney General's office indicated that the game's seat belts were in poor conditions. You can see it right here. Look at this crap. What is that?
Zoom in on it.
It looks like a seatbelt that goes around your hip almost.
You guys see that?
It looks like a car seatbelt. It looks like a car seatbelt.
Yeah, it does. That goes around your hip almost. Like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Coaster Facts said we finally got our Vortex ornament. I'd love to see a paddleboard near Indiana Beach. The coaster is an epic purchase. I can't wait to visit the park. Thank you for the podcast. Bad maintenance and operations were the problem. Yep. You can see right here. They're showing this right here, but I can't. Let's see what else it says on here. The investigation pointed out on September 29th, the Hello La Fiera, the Chotepec maintenance personnel revisions were made between the fastening elements and components to make up the train and wagons. And on October 3rd, they deemed it necessary to carry out another inspection in place of the facts. Damage was found in different sections of the tracks and their junctions. A fragment of traction bar located on the floor of the ballast of the mechanical game was found. The fragment of the traction chain is important because when it hits the track, it damages and detaches from its position. A truck fastening cover is observed with the wagon axle. With its 3 screws in place, the truck is a mechanical metallic support whose function is to keep the wagon moving on the tracks with the load wheels and the side wheels. Sorry. And the anti-lift wheels. It should be noted that the truck support cover must have 3 fastening screws of the time or of the same dimensions and characteristics of which 2 were the same and 1 different. And you can see right here, this is what they found out here. I know it's in Spanish. But you can see right here, this part right here, and I'm going to use my mouse. This part right here, detached. And you can see just the whole assembly right here was not properly placed. And that's what they're talking about here. You can see kind of it was detaching already. And that's kind of something that maintenance should probably have noticed earlier in the day if they were to do proper inspections. The convoy or trains was without manufacturer's marker visible serial number, made up of four cars or wagons joined at a lower end by a coupling or axle. The same that at the rear end of the fourth carriage showed its coupling or union shaft damage. Wagon, the one of five. So you can see they're talking about these are everything that coincided with it basically derailing. Number five, wagon, the one that came off without manufacturer's mark and visible serial number with the detachment of the rear head. Broken seatbelts in poor condition in general was indicated at the conference. Log review. They also reviewed maintenance logs and checked the details of the game manual. The elements of the study were the operation manual, Camaro amusement ride inspection list carried out by the maintenance management from August 31st to September 28, 2019. Checklist or checklist of the same year, record book of 192 sheets where the routine reviews of the year are described to Laura. In addition, the conference characters of the Tremera roller coaster Quimera, whose description is in the manuals, were announced. And it was noted that it is of the triple loop type, the Wieland Schwarzkopf brand of German origin. And its first year of manufacture is 1984. It operated in Mexico since 2007. Total weight 650 tons. What is going on here? Oh, you guys. Okay. So if we do 650 times 2,000, we get the rough weight. 1.3 million pounds is the total weight of the roller coaster.
Ooh. I would hate to pay the shipping price on that.
Oh, good one. It's... I think earlier Tom said that it was 60 trucks it was going to take to drop everything off. Its system is designed to operate with five trains, each with six wagons, but it operated with only one train of five wagons.
And after each
with six wagons, you know, but it operated with one train of five wagons. Ah.
Actually, though, even at Summer in Lagoon, it only ran five car trains, so...
I think most of its history only includes the fact that it ran the exact same amount of trains across the board.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my guess is that only that's explained when after the fans look at for a high capacity.
Now, my question is, have these trains had any kind of big maintenance on them since the coaster's been running since 80 whatever?
From what I understand, the Quimera coaster, they took three trains that they had and they combined them all together to make up that one train. And then I heard they purchased aftermarket wheels and assemblies that were against manufacturer specs that were currently on it, and that could have also contributed to it derailing as well. Do you know if Indiana Beach knows what new type of train cars? No, that has. They're trying to find. We're just waiting patiently. Let's just say that. We're hoping we find out tomorrow or the day after, and then if we're able to, we'll let you guys know. Triple loop looks cool. What about the 2022 coaster? Don't know. We don't know about the 2022 coaster. The staircase sure was an eyesore. Yes. Well, that's still going to be there, guys. That's how they checked that up.
And it's still going to probably be an eyesore, but nothing you can do about it. I mean, it's still going to be a great coaster. It's still going to be a great
That is not confirmed. And I'm waiting on this pop up. This has not been confirmed, Coaster Facts. I just actually talked to the park today, and they said there's a lot of misinformation going on over the internet. This is one of the misinformation things that was brought to you by Coaster Nation. A couple other sources, they said that if Gene Staples was going to buy one, why wouldn't he buy two? There's no space for it, first of all. Second of all, they're not going to invest in another used coaster, from what I understand. I heard it's a ground-up coaster. They will announce that later in the year, probably after the season, and from what I'm understanding, it's not the Laser Loop. I don't know who started that rumor. I don't know where it came from. I don't know. I don't know what to believe in the community anymore. I don't know where this rumor started at. I think people are hoping and that the park has three Schwarzkopfs. Laser loop would be great. Don't get me wrong. It's a dry tire launch coaster. You don't find those anymore. However, does the park really want to spend the maintenance on something like that after they spent the maintenance cost on Quimera or the triple loop or the dryer loop? Probably not. I think they want something that's ground up, revolutionary. Something, because they said they wanted.
You know what would be. You know what would be cool. Is if they worked with B&M to build that hyper they never built.
Oh, the one that was. Okay, so many of you guys don't know this, but we found this out from the current owners, is that under Spackman, before they sold the park, he was actually in talks with B&M to build a $18 million B&M hypercoaster that would span basically the outside of the park. Now, I know it sounds ridiculous, but he knew that what he had to do in order to keep Indiana Beach aligned with other parks in the region. If this would have went through and the park did not get sold, obviously we wouldn't be talking about this right now. But can you imagine a B&M hypercoaster on top of the water? It'd be insane. So that's what he's talking about here. And this is confirmed. Waiting on this thing to catch up. but this was confirmed and by the owners to us. And we found it interesting that they were able to find that out, that they had plans to go with B&M. But you have to understand, okay, so Jacob first visited the park when he got married, which was 2 years ago, right? So 3 years ago now, probably. I don't know. 2016.
Two and a half. Well, no, that wasn't my first time in Monticello. I was there prior.
I don't know when Zach visited first, but let's...
Monticello.
Wait, that's because I'm... I won't say that.
But the park was averaging 900,000 visitors a year. So they were making plenty of money. Then there's that rumor that the reason why they sold it was because they weren't making money. That's incorrect. The reason they sold it is because he gave the vote up to his kids. His kids decided to sell the park. It's unfortunate, but now we have a good owner again. So let's give him a chance and see what he has to do. He hasn't even been doing it for a year yet. We already have people, I don't like what he's doing.
What are you talking about? The park is the best it's ever been since the original owners.
Yeah.
And Taco Shop probably won't be coming back, but new vendors will. And
they confirmed today they will not be operating at Indiana Beach next season.
That's fine. Prono Pup is, because Prono Pup still has good food, but I like who they added last year. They added the couple new vendors, and the ice cream vendor that they added there was amazing. Those milkshakes were the bomb. If you guys get a chance to go to Indiana Beach, check out those milkshakes. don't even start with your jokes. We're not playing Khalees milkshake on here, all right? So I know you were thinking of it. So anyways.
It's still Monticello, and I'm actually – okay, sounds good to me.
And that ideal brew they had this past season was out of this world.
Yeah, the maintenance was on par. We saw them replace whole motors and antique autos this year, which was cool. Well, I did. I don't know if you guys did, but I watched them replace full motors into these things. So stable,
which was way overdue. I mean, all of our viewers who didn't go there when Apex owned them, those things half the time didn't make it up out of the station and up the first hill. It was like you're playing Roller Coaster Tycoon and you built the first hill too steep and they would just roll backwards.
Yeah. Somebody said 900,000 guests is a great attendance number. That was back in 2007, 2008, before Morgan took over. What's the deal with the Falling Star?
Hopefully
it'll be there. It'll be there in 2021. Tom said he doesn't know about the future after this year. They have big plans for better flat rides to go in place.
What gets better than Falling Star?
Estes Screamin' Swing.
And that would not work there.
It might not go there, but we'll see. There's other flat rides out there that are pretty kick-ass. So,
like the Estes Double Side after you had Anton and Force behind it.
Like the teacup rides?
Teacup rides? What are you talking about?
I don't know the official name for them. The at Six Flags Great America, they're teacups.
Oh, way good.
Oh, those, yeah, those are good.
Especially Christmas time and how the lights are going on. That's cool.
Well, we wrote, you know, after riding Musical Express, you go ride the equivalent to it over at other parks, and it's not near as fast.
Except for a fun spot. Those are, what the heck?
We do know the place of where the Polyps ride is going at, guys. So Polyp is going to be called Sea Warrior, and it's going to be where Zero G used to be at last year. So we like that, and they are going with a good name. So it is getting a new paint job. We did see that on their updates. So if you guys remember what the horses looked like last year, if you guys were there, the horses had a fresh paint job. This ride has fresh paint jobs. So whoever's doing the paint jobs on their flat rides is doing an amazing job. And I imagine they're going to bring in the same. I wonder if they bring in, what's the name of that one coaster paint company? It starts with a B that usually does the coasters all around the country. I wonder if they're not going to come in and do Triple Loop. They didn't say that it was going. They didn't say that Falling Star was going to leave. He just said he can't say anything past this year, but they do have plans for new flat rides. So tells me they're probably going to start going in the direction of purchasing new rides and not used rides anymore, probably because it's a lot easier for maintenance and knowing how to get parts. And I would love to see them revive the SNS double shot back to what it used to be at, which it used to launch you up really fast and shot you out of your seat. And now they have seat belts and the air pressure's less, and it's not a thrilling ride anymore. Banyan Painting is the one. They just redid the paint job on Shikra, which Zach asked me about that when we were at Tampa last Tuesday. And I guess they went in there that week and repainted it. So it has a fresh paint job now.
I saw that. They started on the lift hill.
Yeah. Which
it's too early for that. Cut that out.
They're trying to get ready for March.
Yeah, anyway, fine, Quasi.
But here's the operation in Quimera: serious unsafe conditions, weakened seatbelts, oil leaks in equipment, cracks in trucks. The road had been broken. The road had broken bolts and damage to its structure. So there you go. Loop number one had a lot of movement. The three loops required leveling. The operator's display had faults that they had already been reported. And in the review of September 27th, a 79% approval was obtained for operation. But to date after that, it had decreased to a technical capability of 21%.
Bye. It says bye, 20%.
Oh, bye, 21%. So it would be what? 58% then. In that sense, he explained that according to the checklist they reviewed, the day before the accident, the game was 79% efficient to operate. The next day was only 58. I mean, his capacity had already decreased, and he didn't have to go out, said the spokesman. And derived from the above, the different deficiencies should have been classified as a high priority, and the startup of the mechanical game should not have been authorized till the failures had been corrected. Okay, what do you think about that? And we're going to go into the final details of this accident report, but, I mean, come on now. You knew it was unsafe, You knew it was only operating at an 80% or 79%. The next day it operates at a 50% rate. And you say, let's go ahead and run it, knowing that there's a high chance that that coaster could possibly fail. I don't get it. You had loose bolts, it is what it is. I mean, that's what happens when your government doesn't regulate. You know, people complain about the United States government regulating too much, but would you rather have safe conditions or unsafe conditions? If you let companies self-regulate themselves, this is what happens, people. The right things don't always happen. Six Flags might do the right thing because they don't want a massive lawsuit for somebody dying on their coaster. But they learn. They're not taking any risks. Kentucky Kingdom,
Today's Kentucky Kingdom, Six Flags. You know how I always bring that up.
Yeah, Six Flags Kentucky Kingdom back in what year was that? 2006, 2007?
I don't think so.
What was the year? My side broke up for a second. What was the year? 2008, you said?
I understand what you mean, but that's exactly. Sound right to me because I wasn't in this way at the time, so I didn't find out about that until way past then.
2007.
Yeah, he just answered, so I saw that too. I live in Pittsburgh, and Kennywood is getting rid of 4 great old rides, the Kangaroo, the Byron Curve, and the Volcano a Huss ride. The Paratrooper, I don't know where the rides are going to spot. I would like to see the Volcano ride come to Indiana Beach. That'd be a good replacement for if they ever had to replace the Falling Star.
Actually, knowing Kennywood, they're probably going to keep them like, in storage. And then bring it back to my later on. It's in a full ready to take a ride out. And if you'd only got 5 rides back now, so.
Yeah, maybe. What were we talking about here? Okay. I would say, yeah, so that's kind of what happens when you use aftermarket parts with the cable that was on those drop towers, which they found out they were using the wrong cable, was it? They were using a thinner cable. It's sliced. Boom.
So, yeah.
And now they have a fail-safe, too, where if the ride operator sees something, they can shut the ride down. So they learn from that mistake, too. They make a new train car for the S&S shot I saw somewhere. Yep, they did. I forget what it does now, though.
Yeah, it spins. It flips
in that little amount of time.
I'm assuming as soon as you hit that top, it just starts spinning.
That'd be awesome, though.
S&S is like, we've got this. He's like, we got this patent for the spin technology. We got to use it more. Just kidding. Okay, let me go back to this one.
S&S for a reason.
Yeah. This is the accident. The prevailing conditions cause the vibration in all the elements and make up the mechanical play, which caused the bolts to come out of their position. Caused the right truck, the fifth car's fastening element, to come off of its axis. The situation caused the traction chain to hit the track junction since there is no braking area in this section, and the train continued its route since the truck on the left side continued on the track, preventing the wagon from derail at that point. As the track changed the angle of inclination and the fifth car no longer had the truck on the right side, the car derails and remains suspended in the air. The rest of the train breaks and slides towards the bottom of the gate, at which point the fifth car hits the structure that supports the tracks, causing it to completely detach from the train, turning on its axis and remaining in the form which it was located on the day of the event. The spokesman explained that the part of the truck that lost the train, as if it lost a tire, let's say there are 3 sets of tires that are the ones that keep the game subject to the track and to balance, to movements he has in the bar that makes the device work. Can the fair challenge his expertise? Who cares about that? You know, the investigation. Hold on, Zach. What we got here? Oh, I will share that maybe at the end of the show. I just looked at we're at an hour right now, so we have to. This is when we start losing people's interest on podcasts, but I don't know. So obviously, as we talked about earlier in the show, Zach, Jacob, we talked about this earlier as well. Basically, what caused the detachment was improper maintenance, and they knew about the improper maintenance. They knew what was wrong with it. They decided not to fix the problem, and then they had that assembly detach, which means, guess what, guys? So it's basic fundamentals of engineering and physics. If you don't have something... Okay, I'm back. If you don't have something to prevent the car from being held onto the track, so let's take a look at like a train, for example. What causes a train to derail? Pretty simple. So it's kind of the same situation here. You have a balancing act, so one side. Sorry. This thing is killing me right now. I love StreamYard when it operates right. If the wheel assembly's whole goal is to keep it on the track. That's why if you ever feel a coaster swaying side to side, it means they probably need to tighten it up a little bit. A coaster is not supposed to sway that much. So they should have noticed this early on, like the report said. They should have noticed that it was a little loose, that it was swaying too much. And then they noticed as it hit the first loop, as it said, that there was issues. They noticed that it went from 78 to 79% to 58%, which means they knew, like the article said, good luck challenging that. And the park's already been shut down. They've been sued. I don't know what the Mexican government's doing from that. It's been over a year now. They probably have more important things to deal with, like, I don't know, their pandemic going on now, right now. But they allowed the sale of the coasters to happen, and Indiana Beach ended up with it. Now, they knew that this was a huge risk, so why did they do it? Because in the United States, they follow by manufacturer specs. So, what is this guy doing over here? What are you guys doing?
I want to see his new shirt.
White Lightning.
White Lightning with a 12-car train.
Ooh.
Yeah. Not the old train, no. It had a 12-car train and then fixed it.
Yeah, he changed his mind three different times on the shirt. Anyways,
Well, hey, in modern times, the first suit wasn't even White Lightning. It was being Kaiser. It was like, after White Lightning.
What would cause that first loop to sway so much? Train going too fast?
Trains going too fast.
It wasn't the trains going too fast. It was because the loop was not balanced and leveled on the ground properly. It said it right in the report. They did not have the loops properly balanced and leveled on the ground.
Well, I didn't know if he meant in general.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully Indiana Beach goes with more of a permanent type structure, like where they have permanent supports in place for it. That would create a more solid foundation for it.
You know, they'll probably just do a solid concrete pad underneath it.
The coaster would be to travel around, so maybe part of the equipment is making it more permanent, but who knows?
Hey, well, I mean, as long as they take the wheels off of it and take the fireball off the back of it.
This guy. Anyway.
if for anybody who didn't know, 0G on the backside of it said fireball. And not even the ride operators noticed it.
Oh, I noticed it.
Oh, yeah, I noticed it day one. It aggravated me to nose end.
I'm like, why did it say duty and fireball? Because Apex didn't care at all.
What annoyed me is that, and I talked about this, and I'm glad the new owner, Eugene Staples, doesn't like carnival rides. What annoyed me is that it was a temporary structure that had a wheelbase on it, and that Spackman back in the day would not have put any. He bought carnival rides that were permanent structures. It just annoyed me to no end. You didn't even put a fence around it to cover it up to prevent it from. I don't know. That's all fine and dandy in places like Knoebels. Like, I love Knoebels to death, but the gasoline that spills off of those flyers when it's turned on, whatever that thing's called, the Aircrow version, I don't know what the actual technical name of those things are.
That thing flies, though. Holy crap. I think Adriana, I got Adriana on that, and I think she loved, yeah, she loved that ride.
Yeah, she did. It's just, that thing was so loud and you could smell the gas pouring out of it. That's the, I like electric. We're hooked up to an electric source. I just feel like it.
For anybody who's never been there, it smells like you're literally at a racetrack and there's go-karts going around everywhere.
It does. Knoebels has got a little charm. It's like a permanent carnival. It's technically a permanent carnival.
Knoebels is one of your underrated parks.
Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere. You basically drive through the hills, and then here's a park. You're like, who put this here in the middle of nowhere? But we want to, I definitely want to get out there. What were you saying, Zach?
Like, that sounds like reason to me. Like, oh, look at that, a random park. Oh, we have a random racetrack and a random park. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share this YouTube video while we're, you know, sitting here with no sound. So people can kind of watch this. I'm going to do a full screen on this. Hold on. Why is it not doing a full screen? Why is this not working?
You need a MacBook Pro.
User error. Hey, I got two running.
This is from Savage Coasters. So I'm just going to. Why is this so long? I'm going to mute this because. There we go. So you can kind of see what they're talking about in their report over here. There's an initial descent. You can see it wiggling off the back. You guys see that? Even going up the dry lift. Even going up that lift hill, you can kind of tell that it wasn't properly being maintained. And then, like you asked with the that one person asked with the first loop shaking so much. That is due to it not being properly leveled and properly reinforced. There's that shake. There's a second loop. Now you can see how that thing's hauling butt. And here's where the trim brake usually kicks in. That was turned off. So when it hits that third loop, yeah. Oh, here it goes again. So he's got a couple different angles of this. So you kind of see what it was like before the accident. And it was still operating like that. Indiana Beach is not going to do that. They're going to have the trim brakes on. They're going to have it properly reinforced. It's going to not wiggle like that. That is not the proper way a coaster needs to be maintained. And that is why when it goes over there, you're not going to have it derail and have the same incident happen. Plus, it's probably going to have newer trains or new trains on it. There you go. Look at this thing hauling. You see that? Like, that's where it should slow down at. And here it goes. Boom. Look at that thing shake like that. That is so unsafe. It's ridiculous. But look, you have to, the way it takes those right turns, you think, even if they miss the left wheel assembly, you want to make sure that right wheel assembly is hardcore on that, because most of your forces are going to be coming on that right side. I mean, common sense, physics, whatever. I guess they didn't have anybody trained in that. Anthony Martinez. It was traveling loopers. It was normal to have them some sway, but not to that extent. Mindbender in Canada doesn't sway at all. So, yeah, the question remains, will Indiana Beach, like, remove the sway? Kind of make it more permanent?
Mm-hmm.
And that in return would cause a lot of the issues to kind of go away.
I think that they'll get rid of the sway and it'll be definitely more of a permanent structure.
Yeah. You'll probably put it on concrete.
Mm-hmm. Concrete pad. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, and you can kind of see these different angles. Thanks to Savage Coasters for allowing everybody to use that. I'll put his channel in the description. Give him a subscribe if you guys haven't done so yet or not. He's the main one everybody uses out there because he has some of the best off-ride footage of the coaster. So, and then I kind of reviewed GP to Enthusiast's review, and I kind of took some of his links off of there. That's where I got these articles at. If you guys get a chance to check him out, do so as well. I mean, he's at like 60,000 subscribers, which is insane because he started doing those videos, what happened, and his subscribers went from 300 to like what it is now in like no time. So that thing looks like a fire escape. Oh, you're talking about the stairs? Yeah. Gotta love it. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of that. So what, here's some of the pictures. We've already show these to you guys, but this is currently what's on site at Indiana Beach in terms of, you can see the track just don't look like they're in bad shape. I know some people, sorry, this thing is freezing up on me again. But you can see right here that it doesn't look like it's in bad shape. I don't know if they're going to let me zoom in. Let me take the banner off. You can't really see it if that's on there. But you kind of see a zoomed in version, which is right here. These are the top of those two loops that you saw in there. This will be repainted. The owners have already confirmed that. And you can see the different track pieces. I don't think it's in that bad a shape. Like, I was expecting it to be in worse shape than that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, actually, new paint does a lot. It does wonders to old ride.
Well, I mean, the brakes are pretty much in prime condition considering Mexico never used them.
They finally noticed that I was switching them around. All right, anyways, but you guys have any questions for us? This is mainly to give like information on why it failed down there and why it won't fail up here. We don't know if they're ordering new trains. We were told they are, but until the park confirms that they're on their way, we can't confirm it.
We hope they do.
I mean, they kind of have to because the one thing they're using it done destroyed, so.
Yeah, true. Yeah, so rumors it's probably going to be two different companies. One of the rumors is Gerstlauer, and then the other one is a company that manufactures basically modernized versions of the same Schwarzkopf coasters, and it would move it from an over-the-shoulder restraint to a lap restraint. And Zach, did you get a chance to check to see if the state regulation requires, if you have an inversion, that it's required to have over-the-shoulder restraints? Because some states like New Jersey require over-the-shoulder restraints for anything that goes over a certain height or inversion-wise.
I can check that out, but I can do that right now. I can find nasty and find.
Okay. Yeah, we'll post that. So somebody asked that question the last show we had earlier in the day. So, but maybe Jacob will be able to find something on it. The little incline before the drop into the third loop was actually supposed to be a booster to give it a little speed, but obviously it was never needed. Okay, that's good information.
I'm not sure, but considering it goes upside down, I'm assuming it has to be a over the harness restraint, even if it's a comfort restraint.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in the upcoming months. My thing just went out again. I guess we'll find out in the upcoming months on that, but I hope this kind of gives you guys more information on why it failed over there. And like you mentioned, that one accident that happened in Flamingo Land was because the ride operator was dumb. And
I mean, yeah. if the coaster is running, don't go into a restricted area. But Europe is known for that. I mean, just what was it last year, the year before, Energylandia or whatever?
Yeah.
Same thing happened there. Where the ride operator toaster went to retrieve a phone in a restricted area while the toaster was in motion, and he got whacked.
But over there, they don't have fences for restricted areas. They just assume, and obviously people over in Europe have more common sense than people in the United States, because I've seen it on videos. They do not have things blocked because people know over there they're not to be stupid and land on tracks. Here in the United States, you could sue anybody based on anything. So they're like, well, we got to put a fence up and then put restriction area, because if they restrict it and then they get killed, it's not our fault. Over in Europe, they have laws. I think it's like common sense laws, where basically, you know, common sense tells you, hey, there's a fast moving object on over here. Maybe I should be smart and not go over here and get hit by a train. So I think people over in Europe might have a little more common sense than over here in America. Either that or over here, they're just too happy. I haven't figured it out yet. But if you noticed, if you go and watch Theme Park Worldwide, they do a lot of European parks. They do not have, I think England might have them, but not every single country does. If you see pics on the ride in the UK and Germany, they didn't have a staircase structure. They built that only in Mexico. Ah, interesting. Let me go back to that. I have that picture. He's right.
Yeah.
There it is. Yep. Huh. Okay. That's good information. I know. Thanks for sharing that with us, Anthony Martinez. Appreciate it.
Well, for it to properly become a permanent amusement ride, they probably had to add this emergency staircase.
Sure. Yeah. All right. It'd
probably fall over if you tried walking down it, but, you know, it's not the, you know, it's Mexico.
Yeah, that place has a shady history altogether. But like we were talking about earlier, you know, and England didn't. Okay. And I think I couldn't find that picture of that one. But when it hits over in the United States, like we talked about earlier, as soon as it's assembled and put together, obviously the maintenance crew over at Indiana Beach is going to inspect it. And then they have to make sure it operates at manufacturer specs. So there's a certain manufacturer spec that is gone over in the guide. Once it hits those manufacturer specs and it's maintained at the proper specs, then they start running. After they're starting to run tests with the train, then they bring in the state inspectors. That takes about a week or two. They certify that the coaster is safe for them to ride. It is certified. Every ride in the park has to be certified to operate. Obviously, flat rides take less time than the roller coasters. And a lot of times they'll inspect pretty much every square inch of it to ensure that it's safe. The wooden roller coasters that you guys ride on, they have to walk those tracks every single morning before the park opens to inspect every single piece of it. Dude, this isn't school, just talk, man.
I didn't want to interrupt you because I'm just correcting myself. So Flamingo Land had a white base with pink track.
Okay.
Correct myself there.
Oh, you're fine. Midwest Coast fans of the Batman, the ride at Six Flags Over Georgia, and the Raptor at Cedar Point incident all over again. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Actually, you saw that down at Carowinds. Remember you said people were jumping the fences? It said restricted areas. Yeah. He saw that during their Halloween event. It was there several years. I remember riding in Mexico. The restraints were terrible. That's good to know from somebody that's actually on the coaster.
Were they like car seat belts?
Those were some odd restraints. We got about a 5-second delay, so it might take him a second to answer that. But like I said, basically when it comes over here, it's going to go through all those specs. If they're ordering new trains, everything has to be inspected on it, similar to,
yeah.
But everything has to be inspected. So
ticket.
When you guys ride it on opening day, like Tom was talking about earlier, it's already gone through so many tests, so many checks before you're even able to hop on the ride.
And EM Staples probably ran 100 times before you've gotten on it.
Yeah.
Probably. That's good that they have a ride tester, though.
Yeah, it is. Especially when, you know, he's awesome and has really good opinions on posters.
Yeah, I'm joking a little bit. Like, come on, I don't get paid to ride coasters like that.
He's the same one that said the Busch Gardens. Yeah, he's the same one that said Busch Gardens Tampa had horrible operations too. Zach, so.
Zach, you get paid to work at the best place ever, so I don't want to hear it.
What's you that, Walmart?
You get to see Santa every day, okay?
I didn't get to though, because I was like barely in Christmas.
I know, you're too busy breaking my favorite ride.
Well, let's see here. Reindeer games. Raging Rapids or
Eagle's Nest until you blew the motor out.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. I didn't operate that ride. I want to though.
Hey, Barton Brass, you can find it on YouTube or just go to the SNS website and it'll be on there too.
Yeah, it's easy to find.
But yeah, thanks for giving us your input, Anthony Martinez. We appreciate it. And if you are heading up to Indiana Beach, we would love to meet some of you guys and ride the coaster with some of you guys this year. We have a teammate that lives down the street from there, so I'll have him probably over there in the next couple of days to give us to see how much more tracks in place, because I imagine it's probably I'm pretty sure a lot more has arrived this week. If you watch a video of Olympia moving, you will see a similar mini lift boost used in the middle of the ride. Okay. It's good to know. All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, guys. This is the final episode. This is episode 3 of Roller Coaster Therapy. We're going to have Jeremy from Buckeye Coasters with us on episode 4. You guys are so stupid. We've already got him. We have to pre-record it though because of his schedule. So that'll be dropping Monday at 6 p.m. on podcast and video. This will be available on YouTube if you wanted to rewatch it. Just type in Midwest Coaster Fans in the search bar, it'll pop up. The fully posted video will not appear till tomorrow. But the podcast, I will upload it, and it'll be available for you to listen to at 7 a.m. in the morning. So you guys have anything to add about that? You guys think it'll be a great addition to Indiana Beach? What is he doing?
I don't want to see that terrible towel. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great addition to Indiana Beach, but you guys know me. I'm all about the inversions and 3 loops, really fast speeds, G-force at 4.7.
Yeah, time.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I want to go. I'm going there.
Wait, guys, we might go. On this mini boost on this coaster, wouldn't that make it Indiana Beach's first launch coaster?
Technically, you could count the dry tires as a launch lift hill, technically.
Yeah. There you go. Indiana Beach will not be a launch coaster.
I mean, I'll still go take my Thunderbird.
And I'll go to Gun Kingdom, and I'll go launch Indiana by anytime help.
I mean, technically, Incredible Hulk over at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure is a dry lift hill that launches you. So,
Dry pilot launch.
Well, thanks for listening to us, guys. Like I said, follow us on iTunes, Spotify, anything you listen to, 7 a.m. it'll be dropping. If you get bored on a flight or a drive, you can re-listen to this whole entire video. It's about an hour and a half long. Or you can re-watch it here on YouTube or Facebook, whatever you guys want to. Join us. Just type in Roller Coaster Therapy. It'll pop right up. You can view our prior podcasts. This is technically season 2. Episode 3 will be available, like I said, at 7 a.m. Try to listen to our Coasters and Brews one we did with them. That was a fun podcast. We're going to have them on later on in the season again. But that being said, these two weirdos over here, we'll talk to you guys.
Jealous, you're not on our level.
We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for joining us here on the West Coast Fans Roller Coaster Therapy. Until next time.